Thank you, Mark. Very beautiful words that only a loving son-in-law could speak. Right when you think you know the community inside and out, right when you think you've met everybody, I had the great pleasure, albeit under unfortunate circumstances yesterday, to meet with the daughters and sons-in-law and grandchildren of this wonderful woman, Mary Turiel. Anne, Marlene, Sandra, and Elaine, with whom I recall now we went to school together at Franklin High School. Although when I walked in, I did say I remembered who you are. We're overflowing with devotion and love about the wonderful woman who we've all come to honor and memorialize today, their mother, Mary Turiel Baird. She was born in April 23rd, 1918. As we heard, she was 92 years old. Her wonderful parents from the island of Rhodes, from Rhodes, Eliezer El-Melech and Mazal Tov El-Melech, wonderful parents to her. But we hear stories of people who are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Not only was Mary not born with a silver spoon in her mouth, but if anybody had to write a book, if anybody had to write a story of how her life started out, it would be kind of sad. She was only 9 months old when her father passed away. So for all intents and purposes, never really knew him. She never really had a relationship with him. But I believe that the soul and the human body records every memory and every event, no matter how young we are. And I'm not a physician, I'm not a sociologist or a psychologist, but I'm sure there are studies to back. Whatever exposure an infant has in the early years of their life, they will never forget, be it from a mother or from a father. So although they were short, 9 months, I'm sure they impacted her life. She was blessed with four wonderful children, four wonderful sons-in-law, and four grandchildren, and five great-grandchildren. May everybody be well. She was married to her husband, Joseph Turiel, who passed away in 1974, unfortunately. They got married in 1942. She was a survivor. She had to have been a survivor, as we heard from Mark's wonderful words. She didn't grow up with a lot. She, make no qualms about it, they were somewhat poor and had to survive in life, unlike probably many didn't have to. However, she was a survivor and someone who persevered. She grew up without many of life's luxuries. She didn't have a lot, and they knew poverty firsthand. However, looking at someone and giving the vital statistics of their life, and we hear so many stories today about individuals who grew up disadvantaged and people making all kinds of excuses for their lot in life or how they turned out, not so was the case for Mary. She not only did with what she had, but she expanded on it. She expounded on it and she enhanced her life in any possible way that she could. Merely graduating from high school, of Garfield High School, where so many of our members of our community attended, was a goal for her. She was very proud that she was a graduate of high school. She was very ambitious, she was very intuitive, and she knew how to pursue exactly what she wanted. She was talented as a salesperson, from what I understand. She had a great work ethic, and even in high school at a young age, she worked in the high school cafeteria. Probably the history from which she started always gave her a green light to move forward, always gave her a push. I need to make something, I need to produce, I need to be a productive member of society and not live off of others. So her graduation from Garfield and her places where she worked, such as the high school cafeteria, Seattle Curtain, and Bon Marché, were all places where she was able to realize that dream. She was an avid sports fan. I saw a picture of her yesterday that the family showed, and the picture depicted My memory of her whenever I saw her, she had this smile that was just stuck on her face. But it wasn't disingenuous. It was with all sincerity and with all integrity. She was a happy person. And she exuded her happiness so much in a way that it was contagious. You saw her, you smiled. And it, from what I hear from the children as well, everybody remembers that smile. She loved to travel. She married Alec Barrett after her first husband, Yosef Turiel, of blessed memory, passed away. And they traveled. They went to many places. She loved to see the world. She went, in fact, they tell me there wasn't a place on the globe that she didn't get close to. She was in the Far East. She was in Israel. She was in Rhodes. She saw the United States. She probably saw beautiful places such as Hawaii. She went everywhere. That showed a great quest for life and curiosity and always wanting to enjoy the present, enjoying the day. But her favorite time of travel when she was able to take her entire family to Rhodes. That's not to diminish the quality times that she shared with her family as they grew up, as many of us did in places like Soap Lake and Lake Chelan. Those are the state of Washington's best-kept secrets. And of course, not to forget our neighboring seaside. So many of us have the same vacation spots here. I'm surprised we didn't run into more people when we were in those places. But so many of us went to those places, and having her children and her family with her was everything to her. She was a superb baker and cook. I don't know that firsthand, but in a way I do know it firsthand because I received firsthand knowledge from her family and her sons-in-law that this just wasn't a hobby, this wasn't something that she happened across. She took it very seriously and was very good at it. And specifically, I'm sure all food she did very well, but she adored serving her family the Sephardic delicacies that are difficult to make and cook and bake. She knew how to do them to the satisfaction of the palates of all of those to whom she was so generous and kind to. She was a very giving individual. She had, and she wasn't afraid to take a risk in life. And what do I mean by a risk? She didn't open up a big business necessarily or invest. Maybe she did. I'm not aware of that. But you can take risks in life, in areas of life, where other people don't. And what do I mean? She was known to strike up a conversation with a total stranger. That's a risk. You could get rejected. You could get shut down. And in a way, that's very hurtful. But she was not shy. She would turn to the person next to her, tell her name, tell her where she was going, tell her where she was from, and had a tremendous trust. Probably she could tell. She probably had a sixth sense that could tell what face has a countenance upon it that I can talk to and trust. And that was a talent. And the fact that she was able to do so and take that risk speaks volumes about her disposition in life. And that's probably why when we encountered her, she was the happy woman that she was. She was even adored. I shouldn't say even, but she was adored by all of her daughter's close friends. You know, we all meet people and you meet their parents and they're all very nice and kind, but they made it a point to say how much they thought their mother was a wonderful person. A very touchy story is she was so generous and so kind when she was one of her daughter's friends in Europe had lost her mother, and Mary had remembered that, kept the relationship close to her heart, sent money to her daughter's friend in Europe upon hearing of that news so she could buy flowers to make herself feel better. Very sensitive, very generous, and very kind. She had a good wit, a great sense of humor, and a very good mind. Her love of interaction with other people, as I mentioned, spoke volumes for the way she was and for her energy, and for the fact that she also loved to party, loved to have a good time. Living in the present, there's nothing wrong with that. However, most compelling that I found, a fact that I found out yesterday, is she lived a life of 92 years, would have been 93 shortly. And her children say it, and they said, she probably would have said it, that she felt she lived a full life. She had no regrets. That is a major statement. We are so careful. Everybody is so careful in the times that we live, making sure every move we make, thinking it, rethinking it, thinking it over again, make sure everything we do is just, you know, we're, you know, keeping all options open. She probably didn't live life in that way. She probably just forged forward, and I'm sure it enhanced her life, and I'm sure it was rooted in how she was brought up. It was her and her mother for so many years. They lived on each other's love. They lived on each other's generosity. They learned from each other, and they just knew to move forward. And it is a great feat to be. It's a great accomplishment to be able to say, I've lived my life. I've had a full life. I have no regrets. And how wonderful was life to me. Her family, needless to say, her children, her sons-in-law, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren were everything to her. We have a precept, you're all familiar with it, in the Torah, in the five books of Moses, specifically in the Ten Commandments, of honoring your mother and your father. We have to teach that to our children. You have to verbalize it, but more importantly, or equally as importantly, you have to show it. And she saw that. She didn't see her father with consciousness, but she did see her mother, and she saw how her mother took care of so many people, her family included, but she saw how her mother gave to other people. Her mother was well known. Her name was Mazal Tov, and she was a Mazal Tov Al Melech. She was well known, I understand, for helping new mothers with their young children. She would go give assistance and be kind to them and give them that which they needed. So Mary, living around that, followed that same paradigm of life throughout her entire lifetime. So she was ingrained. She learned from the beginning how important honoring parents is, and honoring others and being kind and generous to people. She valued education. She insisted on an excellent education for all of her daughters, who she was very proud to say all graduated from college, from the university level, and even from postgraduate, from advanced education. That is a tremendous feat. Four daughters, all sent to college, all graduated. From someone who really came from very little, very small, light, modest, and humble beginnings. She was very God-fearing. God was never absent in her life or in her consciousness. We are lucky to have people like this in our community, because that is also contagious. You know, when you see someone, she was born in Seattle, raised from parents who came from Rhodes, but when you come across people who have tremendous faith, and it doesn't have to be in a show-off way, it can be subtle, but it's there, it's solid, it's unshakable. She had that. She was very devoted to her community and to her heritage. She loved her Sephardic heritage. She was devoted to Congregation Ezra Becerra. She was the founder of the synagogue's gift shop, and she was very active in its sisterhood. All that comes from, again, her generosity, her kindness, her flavor of giving, and of revering that which she believed in life was important. Her community, the God that she embraced at so many occasions, and her overall life. But the most compelling, the most exciting, the most astonishing story I heard yesterday from her wonderful children was a story I doubt if you'll hear today in modern times. She grew up poor. The family grew up poor. In fact, they were on welfare. They were given assistance by the government to continue. Nothing to be ashamed of. When it's needed, you take it and you live. She was so motivated and she was so set on becoming independent and getting a job and achieving independence in that arena. When she first was employed, she took her welfare check, brought it back to the state, and said, I don't need this. Uncashed. I don't need this. I want you to take it back. I got a job. And the government, insisted she keep it. She insisted they keep it themselves. Something tells me she prevailed. But that is an amazing story. How many, all we hear today are people trying to scam, get away with what you can get away with. This speaks to nothing but integrity. This speaks to nothing but pride, not for the sake of pride, but for doing what is right, for being, that is really what our Bible, what our Torah, what all the laws tell us in a very direct and indirect way. It's about you and your honesty, your integrity. If it's all for show and it's all for outside, it doesn't do anybody good except maybe, you know, advertisers. But if it's for, if you internalize everything you've learned, if you've internalized the laws, if you've internalized that which is truly good, then you have gotten the message. You have received the message. She did this without a father. She did it with a mother and a family that was probably a friend, very supportive of her throughout her life, but it was her who did it. No one knows why God chooses to do what he does when he does it. We're on the dawn of the holiday of Passover. We're approaching it. Passover happened to be one of the holidays that she embraced, that she valued, that she loved, that she worked so very hard for. This was, at any turn in her life, she could remember Passover and what she needed to do. We've all had exposure to it. If you've grown up in this community or other Jewish communities, the cleaning, everything has to be immaculate, ridding the house of leavened products, getting ready for the first night, the Seder, and all of the things that go along with it. She would never forget that which her mother taught her, and she passed it on to her children. This is true tradition being passed from one generation to another generation. Even in the end, when her mind wasn't as sharp as it was years before, Passover was paramount in a duty that she loved to do, and a goal that she achieved, that she wanted to achieve every single year. And again, this is part of the Bible, part of the spirit of God that she had. And Passover is about transformation. Historically speaking, the Jewish people, the Hebrew nation, left Egypt and were taken out of bondage and into freedom. That takes courage. It's difficult, but they're transforming from one form of humanity to another form of humanity, opposites. And then they had to transform from becoming a free people to building a nation, the Jewish nation. Similar was Mary Turiel Barrett's life. Her life was filled, as many of ours are, filled with transformations. Some very adverse, some very positive, but at every turn, she adjusted. And to the extent that we can adjust to change, to the extent that we can adjust to transformation, major and minor transformations, that is the extent, that will be the result of the kind of character you have. She knew how to handle change, she knew what was real, she knew what was fabricated, and she lived her life according to that world and to those codes. She was a smiling person. She passed her happiness and her love and her generosity to her children, to her grandchildren, and to her great-grandchildren, and to all of her friends and relatives, and to anybody who encountered her. I wish to the family, to the daughters and their husbands, again, and the entire family, that her memory should serve as not only a blessing, but as an inspiration to how you lead your lives in the future. May her soul rest in peace in Gan Eden.